Hello, I'm Michael Sheen, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to episode 238, I think, of a Touchline Rant podcast.
Don't check on my phone.
Don't check on your phone. Don't. There's been a gremlin in the tech this evening, slightly. We're fine now, though. We're gremlin free. We just keep feeding it after midnight. That's the problem. Isn't every time after midnight? This is one thing I've never got about gremlins. If you want, you know, not football related, but if you will just, you know, if they say not to feed them after midnight, every time is after
where's
midnight.
Where's your cutoff? Yeah, where's your cutoff? That's the problem.
Until when?
Yeah, exactly.
Because like 10 o'clock in the morning is still after midnight. Exactly. Every time. It's ludicrous. It's a ludicrous theory. This is a plot hole.
Yeah.
You know I hate. They're my least favourite holes.
Yeah. Terrible. No, that's true. There's no clarity on your cutoff.
No, there needs to be more information. There needs more. We need more information. It's ridiculous. Interesting week in the world of a Touchline Rant. So my comments about not wanting to support the Glazers, not wanting to support the new potential owners from Qatar, and me rather leaving the Glazers being shut. People get really defensive about their football clubs, despite it also being the one that I support, just because they have a different opinion. It's mental. Do you know what I mean?
It's weird, isn't it? There's a bit of a split in the Forest fan camp at the moment in the Twitter community around certain topics around some fans leaving early before the end of the West Ham game. And the support this season's been amazing, but it has really brought out a divided fan base on an issue. And obviously, Qatar issues is a different one, but it just, do get very defensive. Yeah.
What I don't understand is this: is that it doesn't affect our opinions on the football club. Like, we're allowed to support our football clubs whichever way that we see fit for ourselves. Do you know what I mean? It's my. My view, my experience with Manchester United will be unique to me and only me. So if I have an opinion about my relationship with my football club, if you want to word it that way, then that's only the anyone who has an opinion on it can go to fucking hell. You know what I mean? Just go straight to fuck, because it's just not, I don't care. Do you know what I mean? It was just interesting. From my perspective, because obviously I was seeing what some people were writing, and me being me, and you know me very well, what I did was went all in on it to wind them up even more, which is the correct and only response, because because I was in very much like when I annoyed the Newcastle fans on TikTok, who've been very quiet this weekend. I want it mentioned. I've had no Newcastle fans mouthing off at me this weekend. Very quiet, lads.
Steady on.
I allude to, of course, the Manchester United victory in the Carabao Cup final. Other energy drink suppliers are available. It was an interesting day. I want to talk you through my day, but we have to. That was more of a teaser, the Carabao Cup, because we need to go. Let me explain my day to you on Sunday. Are you ready for my day?
Yeah.
It was the mother-in-law's early birthday party. there's no way my mother-in-law is ever going to listen to this podcast. It wasn't something that we were necessarily looking forward to, I guess.
You what?
Yeah. Just because, I mean, to be fair, it's mainly because Sunday is the only day that I get to just sit with the kids and go, I'm just sitting with my kids today. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But anyway,
I've got any kids, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I get that even without kids. I just want to sit on my own on a Sunday. I don't want anyone bothering me.
I literally, what I want to do on a Sunday, the annoying thing about my Sunday, we have to a food shop. But what I then want to do in the afternoon is just be in the house.
I'm doing yeah.
I don't want to be going family get-togethers that are going to last till into the evening.
Definitely not. Absolutely
it
not.
It doesn't. Do you know what I mean? So it's not the personnel involved. It's the scenario. It's a Sunday. But regardless, went around there, sat with my nephew. He's a Chelsea fan. And watched on my phone the Spurs-Chelsea game. Do you want to know my takeaway from the game?
Yeah, go on.
Spurs and Chelsea are two of the most sinfully fucking boring teams to watch I have ever seen. At least, asterisk to the point, at least they were on Sunday. It was appalling. Like, yeah, no one... honest to God, at one point I looked at my nephew and I was like, "What? We're wasting our fucking lives. We're literally wasting our fucking
lives. Get me back to this party, you're thinking."
Regardless of how this game ends, it would have to end at like 70 minutes or 60 minutes. It would have to be like 0-0. And then by the end, it's like, how did it end up at 4-3? How did that happen? That sort of game. That's the only way. I was like, unless that happens, all we've done is waste a portion of our lives. And that's all that it was.
They're do you think boring. They should like do have a rule in football where if the game's boring and you know it's going to be boring for the rest of the game, the ref just goes, should we just call it a day, boys?
Just yeah. I think there should be one rule where if they want to improve the fun factor of football.
Yeah.
What they should do is if they have like a team has 10% possession but concedes the most fouls and wins 1-0 through a header from a free kick, they shouldn't get 3 points. They should get 2.
Very specific set of criteria there. I feel like you've got an example.
Can I tell you the exact team that I'm thinking of?
You've been scarred by a Man United defeat 1-0 to a head at some point.
What I'm thinking of, weirdly, is this. I'm going to regret saying this, but the Celtic team that beat Barcelona battered them. But Celtic won 1-0. That sort of performance, I don't think you should get 3 points for it.
You do like calculations after the game.
Yes. The problem is obviously these are the sort of things that FIFA will actually we say these things in jest. There's varying reasons why you shouldn't get where you should always get 3 points, but look, FIFA thinks these things up because they get proposed all the time. These ludicrous like suggestions of, okay, well, what we're going to cut the games down to 70 minutes. What do you mean?
No.
What do you mean? Do you mean it's like, and also, do footballers work pro rata? How does that work?
Maybe they will.
These ludicrous things that come up. Who would you rather support? Because again, it can't be an interest. It's not really an interesting and fun life being a football fan in general. At times, because if you support a football club, you are going to feel like utter shit, as well as you're going to feel brilliant. And you never know when either is going to happen. It's just you go into a game going, like I went into Sunday being like, this is either going to be a really good day or a really rubbish one, and I don't know how it's going to be. But regardless of what the outcome is, the next time they play, I'll still watch it.
Yeah.
It's like an abusive relationship in many ways, being a football fan. Who's more abusive, Chelsea or Spurs?
Oh, that's a hard question, actually. It's hard. My gut says Chelsea, but it's a difficult one.
It is difficult. I can't think because...
They have had more success.
But the problem is Chelsea's success, regardless of what Chelsea fans want to agree on or not, their success does come with an asterisk next to it. Because they had Abramovich money. It's saying
now
that
they've got Boehly money, which is even more.
Yeah. And same with Man City. It comes with an asterisk. Whether they like to admit it or not, if they are being honest, if the shoe was on the other foot, if Man City were, Chelsea and Man City, let's be honest, Man City and Chelsea, they both have great histories, let's be brutally honest. Both clubs have great histories. I'm not getting away from that. What I'm saying is that they didn't have the level of success they have. They would not have this level of success if they had not been bought out. Because both their buyouts meant that their new owners could give them more money and more financial advantage over other clubs. Now, some of that money was spent on utter dross. Which, you know, and, you know, cocaine riddled Romanians.
oh dear.
There is, but whether Chelsea fans like to admit it or not, what they're famous for most is their Premier League and Champions League victories. And these things have happened because Abramovich put money into the clubs.
I mean, if you look at it objectively, you'd have to say that the two that, you know, Spurs would be more abusive just because they're
quite similar.
But there isn't much in it. I mean, we could ask Cassie. Hey, this is my chance to get revenge on Cassie because 2 weeks ago she ragged on me for dropping out last minute for work purposes. She's not here tonight because she's looking after a kid which ain't even hers.
Ludicrous.
Pathetic. Pathetic, Cassie. You could be here defending Tottenham. You know, there you go.
Your boys are getting mulled. Can I make...
So I'm going to go Spurs are more abusive just because Cassie's not here to defend them. Go on.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. When I say that Chelsea and Spurs are quite similar, just in case we get letters, what I mean, anyone who's kicking off, what I mean is that Spurs are Chelsea without the investment.
Imagine getting a strongly worded letter in response to a podcast. Imagine that.
Someone's out there. But someone's out there, like literally. Like,
you will get. Helen, if someone's going to send one.
Helen, where's the biro?
I said biro, not ballpoint. The ballpoint smudges.
The Helen.
What do you mean you've only got bit? What? No, the biro. Not the red one. Why are you passing a red one? Who writes in red biro?
Red and green biro should be in the bin.
100%. Do you know what I used to hate as well? Was those pens where you'd have those all multi-colours and you click down on the colour you want and it click in. Do you know those ones?
Oh, yeah.
Because they were shit. They ran out early. They wrote in like this much lighter shade of what other colour you chose.
Do you know what I found out when first? Before the ink sometimes was the mechanism in the pusher downer. The mechanism in the pusher downer would break it's ridiculous. It would break like Dave Boost's leg.
Yeah.
And just for doing its job. It's like it's like when you get older, you know, spoiler to anyone who's listening to this who's younger than us, which is probably a lot of people, to be honest. Sometimes you ask your neck, you turn your head to the right, like that, for Mitch, he's on Zoom watching me do it, to the right, like that, okay? And your neck just pulls itself out of joint. And you're like, literally, I've just asked you to do what you are invented for, like your purpose in life. My next purpose is to perform functions like looking and turning. But every now and again, my neck goes, oh, I didn't like that. Like, what are you literally? I haven't asked you to do anything out of the ordinary. All I said was, can you look right for me? That's it.
And that's basically what the pen's the same.
That's the same. The pen is the same as my pilot.
They didn't want to work. The best pen I ever got, before we move on, because I've realised that we're digressing on pen talk here, which is great, by the way, but was a pen I bought from Turkey, where if you turned it the one way, there was a lady with a bikini on, and a bikini and bottom just came off. Yeah. Best pen you could ever buy, because it wrote really well. You thought I was going to say something else? It was the main reason it wrote really well.
Genuinely, if someone said to me, what's Mitch's favourite pen, I'd put quite a lot of money on me guessing that.
Yeah, that's right. My favourite.
Do you know my favourite pen, which pales into insignificance compared to yours, but we're going to keep pen talk going for a little bit. It was a fountain pen that I had when I was probably about 10, I'd guess. 10 to 12, around that age, which had thumb grips at the end, and you could pop the ink cartridge up.
Yeah. That sounds great. I can see you reminiscing about this pen.
Honestly, this pen was glorious.
Do you know who won't be reminiscing about pens? Sean Dyche in Everton, who conceded a penalty on the weekend and lost 2-0 at home to Aston Villa as the bottom of the table. It was a relegation battle hotted up in the Premier League.
Oh.
We've seen three of the bottom four teams have changed their managers over the last couple of weeks. 3 weeks, yeah, 4 weeks. And with varying success. They've all had a little bit of success. So Leeds beat Southampton. Southampton obviously won at Chelsea last week. Leeds then beat Southampton last week in Javi Garcia's first game. And then Dyche has won a couple at home, hasn't he? But he also lost on the weekend. So, yeah, it feels to me like it's going to go right to the wire, isn't it? Difficult to call. I fear that Forest are going to be dragged in because our away form is so bad. And I looked at the rest of our away fixtures, and I generally can't see us picking up any more than 1 point. I genuinely can't.
But
At home form will be home form's great, but I genuinely look at our fixtures away and I go, I think one point.
Yeah, that you have got a difficult run of them.
But
the thing
is
that you have at Forest is you have, and it's a good, I'm just saying what it looks, it could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing, but what you have at Forest, you seem to have, is this drive and this sort of like determination. And sometimes you see that in teams and it's like, brilliant, we're seeing some fight here. But then sometimes you're like, oh, God, is it because they're going to get brought into a relegation fight? You've done really well. But it's at that point where you can't have any slip-ups now. You have to be consistent. Even if you lose, this is where you can lose. We've said this so many times. You can lose, but don't get battered.
Which is a problem on the weekend with West Ham with 4-0. And I just feel like, yeah, that was That was, like I said, it's brought all the Twitter.
It's a big mafia out as well. Big, but yeah, game. Cameron, who have you got next?
On the weekend, we've got Everton, which is a big game, and then it's we go to Spurs. Game.
And then Spurs,
that's massive. Everton, but I mean, it's at home. It's at the City Ground. So it really is. It's our home form that's key, really, because I just can't see. Then we go to Spurs away, Newcastle home after that, and then yeah, our other away fixtures. You've got to Leeds. That's a big game. Then we go to Liverpool for our next away fixture. You know, we've got some tough ones.
Yeah.
So I really think we'll be dragged into it. But so we look at the table, and I think Palace are a one ahead of us in 12th on 27 points. Maybe they're already too close to that sort of magic 38, but they could get dragged into either. Villa's probably the 31 points, Aston Villa in 11th and Chelsea in 10th with the same amount of points, probably safe.
Yeah, either way, you know. So.
But like Palace and obviously Villa and Chelsea, you know, you'd expect them to get the points they need, even though Chelsea's form has been pretty rubbish. But yeah, anyone from Palace down, really. But yeah.
I think Palace will pull away from it. I don't see Palace getting
drawn. You think so? But won't pull away from it because of our away form. Leicester concede too many goals. They've started scoring, but they concede too many. Wolves have definitely improved under Lopetegui, but they're still prone to the odd, like losing.
They're definitely on the ascendancy more than, you know.
Then you got West Ham. Then you got Leeds. West Ham and Leeds. West Ham could go on a run now. You know, they've got the players. Mm. It's just all about the confidence, and it hasn't happened for them. But if you look at their team, it's largely the same as, you know, there's been a few changes, but like they've got the quality there. Leeds aren't going to pull away, but they're going to be in it till the end. But yeah. It'll be interesting to see how the new manager does. Everton, similar to Forest, is going to be like their home form is going to be key. And they got Bournemouth, Southampton. It's going to be tight. Southampton on 18 points, man.
I think Southampton are down. I think Southampton are gone. I think Leeds go.
Yeah.
As well.
Tricky one, isn't it? Leeds is like, it's interesting because Garcia has.
I'd love West Ham to go.
Would you? You're trying to go through pissing off all the London teams in one podcast.
To be fair, it's people within the capital in general, really. Very rare.
Yeah, a strongly worded podcast response letter, I
think. I get so many letters. I'm now calling Londoners dickheads, basically, which is not my intention, but no. It just so happens to it. West Ham fans is a personal experience of a particular West Ham fan. But now I look at West Ham fans and think, oh, you just don't hear you hear certain stories in the media about sort of fans, and you go, oh, I bet he's a West Ham fan. Do you know what I mean?
Steady on. I love all Londoners and West Ham. Great club. Great fans. I'm just here for balance.
Yeah. It's one of them. You just go, like if you find out someone's been in a scrap and they're from East London, you know, you're going, right, it's either a Millwall fan or it's a West Ham fan.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying.
They'll have too much to be relegated, though. No way they're going down.
I think West Ham are far too good. They've got a very good manager in Moyes. He's a very good manager.
If I had to say,
bad patch, it happens.
It happens. Hopefully they stick with Moyes because he's proven he can do it. But it's hard. It's so easy to just change a manager. But in fairness to the owners, they've given the time to turn it around. They could have easily, when they're in relegation zone, got rid of him. But hopefully they're rewarded for their faith, because I like Moyes. He's a good guy, and by the seams of it. And yeah, They can play some good stuff. I mean, if I had to say Bournemouth or Southampton, I think I'd like to think, sorry, apologies to those fans, but only because if neither of those are going down, then Forest definitely going down. The other one, Leeds.
I think it's going to be Southampton, Bournemouth, Leeds.
I think the same. I think Everton's home form is going to be enough. I've got to think our home form is going to be enough. Leicester Everton have got... Yeah, too much
Everton, fire. I think Everton could now finish early, potentially, for this to come back and haunt me. But potentially, I think Everton could finish sort of like mid-table next year. Maybe challenge for conference position.
What, the National League conference?
Yeah, maybe.
When you've got, if you can get that defence going... as Dyche does, and yeah, build on home form if they can do that. But nah, yeah, I reckon it's going to the wire for them as well. A lot of ground they've had to make up, but they're doing it. That's the bottom of the table. I don't know.
We're in complete agreement, which is fine, because now if what we've said turns out to be stupid, I feel we're in it together.
We're both in it together.
Yeah. That's fine. I don't mind.
First silverware of the season in the bag, Man United, Carabao Cup final.
Yeah, beautiful. Lovely stuff.
We touched on it earlier, but it was pretty first half. I mean,
rudimentary. It was quite... it was, to use a phrase that Pep Guardiola has used today, it was, you know, another day at the office, which it was. To be honest, what happened is that we turned up and we just beat Newcastle.
Newcastle going in, as I said, I think they just lost that momentum at the wrong time. I think a few weeks earlier, and they had that really good defensive run, didn't they?
Yeah, I think
I just said denying.
I think their top four's gone.
I do too. I think Spurs now are obviously, they, you have to think Spurs are in the pole position for that, and they've played a couple more games than Newcastle, but 4 points already. So Newcastle are going to have to get something from both those games in hand just to move back into fourth. And I think they've lost form at the wrong time. Just looking at the league form, they've one win in the last five.
It's bad. It's bad. They're conceding, which is something they didn't do before.
Exactly. And that, it looked like...
Even with Pope in goal, before we get letters, I know Pope. I'm aware Carrius played in goal. I know that play will have played a factor, but they're conceding goals with Pope in goal.
He did all right, Carrius, I thought. Yeah, and there was a solid. Few people said the second goal was their fault, but it was difficult.
It wasn't. It looked, on first glance, it did look like it was Karius's fault, because he did look like he flapped at it.
Yeah.
But he did, but that's because he had to adjust to the ball changing direction mid-air. The ball's come in one direction and then it quickly changes, so he has to look a bit. Yeah, it wasn't his fault.
No, and he made some good saves. He made that one from Veghorst in the first half to keep him in it, and there was a couple in the second half.
Without Karius, it could have been like 5-0.
Yeah.
Like, United...
When that went in, the second goal, like you said, because you couldn't see that, it wasn't that an obvious deflection, but without the replay. And I just thought, oh, no, bless him. I really hope that's not an error for him, because I think that just... You just really feel for him if it was, but no, I think.
I'll be brutally honest. It did. That's how I sold it to my brother-in-law. I was like, Karius has fucked it up again. He was like,
yeah, I bet you.
And my brother-in-law
railing in on him. On
my brother, he's a Liverpool fan. So, I celebrated and then started laughing. Like, Karius has ballsed it up. And he was like, oh god. And then we watched it. I was like, oh, no, actually, it takes a deflection.
Genuine question.
Yeah.
For you then, before we wrap up. And I might regret this because it could set you off as a Man United fan. But it's not a controversial subject this week.
Okay. Fine.
First silverware in the bag. Fifth round of the FA Cup coming up. beat Barcelona, how many trophies could Man United realistically win this season?
Do you know what? If I was the teacher and I was to set this Manchester United team a minimum objective, this is not to suggest, this is more to do with like, this is what I think you can easily achieve. It would be another cup win in the FA Cup. I would take a semi-final appearance in the Europa League. And I would take third in the Premier League.
All right.
I don't see why that's not fully achievable with the squad in the form that it is. They could potentially do more. We've got the good thing about it is we seem to have this attitude at the minute, which is definitely come from Ten Hag, like 100% come from Ten Hag. Ten Hag is very clearly a manager who's come in and gone, brilliant, I'm the boss. And players have acted this, you know, a certain way, and he's gone, I don't care, you're not the boss, I'm the boss. This is dropping Garnacho in pre-season. He was part of the first team picture. Not only did he get dropped from the bench, he got dropped back into the reserves because he turned up late to one meeting.
Yeah.
Or one practice session. He turned up late, and Ten Hag said, you know the rules. I was clear on the rules, and he sent him back to the reserves.
Rashford had that sanction.
Rashford slept in.
Sancho, wouldn't he, because of his fitness, more of a fitness thing, was it? Or
he was, he was given his own regime and told what it was expected of him. I don't know the full story with Sancho. It certainly happened with Ronaldo. Ronaldo left early, was dropped.
Yeah, we know. Obviously, that was the most. Do you know what I think as well? The obviously they lost Brighton 2-1 at home first game, then 4-0 to Brentford. I mean, like, if United win another trophy, I mean, I don't know what odds you'd have got for them to win a couple of trophies after those first two games. God knows what they would have been for the quadruple. And obviously, that is technically still on, but obviously very, very unlikely. But, you know, technically it's still on. You get incredible odds, I'm sure. But, after that Brentford game, he sent the players on the run, didn't he, of the distance that Brentford ran for the game. Mm-hmm. Because they completely outran Man United. And then he joined them on that run, didn't he?
And he turned up with them and he did the run.
He did the run with them. And then he changed.
I believe his staff did as well. I believe his coaching team did. I'm not sure if all of them did, but he certainly did the run with them. That's apparent.
And he also, so he was like saying, I made mistakes as well and I'll do the run with you. And then they played Liverpool not long after that. And the tactics in terms of like the short ball out of defence, he started getting De Gea to hit the wings, and it showed that he could be pragmatic and learn from what he was learning along the way as well. And I just think that you'd have to think that would earn the respect of the players, him going on that run and then just holding his hands up, saying, I'm the boss, but you know, I'll take responsibility as well and I'll shoulder that responsibility. And he's obviously a very principled man, but the players are responding to him, so... Yeah,
it's good. It's good times. What I like about him is he does, as you allude to, he says he strikes me as someone who is, he's coming with his methods, and then rather than stick to them rigidly and refuse to budge, he switched things around and hasn't been scared to switch things around completely if he feels that it better suits the players that he has and what they can achieve. So this is why he sees, and also look, you know, there's certain decisions he's made where we've had Luke Shaw playing centre back.
Yeah.
But he's gone, I see him. And then he's played the recent Barcelona game was a great example where it wasn't working in the first half, in the second leg. He changed things up for the second leg and we won the game. Completely changed the way that we were playing at half time. Just went, no, we're doing this now because this is what's going to win the game. But yeah, no, exciting times.
All right.
But yeah.
Yeah, so wrap, is it?
We've fine.
We've spoken about pens. So that was we're talking about
pens is the big takeaway.
Pens are the big takeaway
from this. But yeah.
Send us your pens, your favourite pen.
Any pen stories. Hashtag APENTR.
Penisland.com.
Yeah. Yeah, bye.
Hi, I'm David Cottrell, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Touchline Rant. This is a touchline rant. A touchline rant. Oh, touchline rant.